Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up, never shut up, never shut up.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, March 22nd of 2024.
I hope you've had a great week. I'm so excited about today. It's another fan favorite Friday, and I'm joined by Brendan Bartlett to talk about their favorite song. How are you, Brendan?
I am so excited to be here and share this with you. I feel like I've been preparing my entire life for this.
So glad to hear that. So tell us, what's your favorite Tori Amos song?
Currently, I mean, because it does, I'm sure you heard this all the time. It changes all the time. But the one that really sticks with me is Your Ghost off of Night of Hunters.
I love it. I love that album. I really love that album.
So haunting, right?
Yes, haunting. Yeah, it's definitely haunting.
I would say Holy Strange Little Girls, Batman, right?
Yes. Is it the album version or the Sin Palabras version?
Oh, I have both. I like to listen to that one while I wash dishes.
Nice. Watching dishes, Your Ghost, Sin Palabras. For those of you who don't speak Spanish, that means without words. Are you singing the lyrics?
Of course. I feel like I've committed them to memory.
Performance time.
Yeah, she's done something that she doesn't normally do. She's written something that I feel like, and I don't really like the mainstream media by any means whatsoever. That's why I prefer Tori Amos, but I feel like she's written something that every man could really listen to and find something in. She's done something with this album, similar, of course, to what she did with Strange Little Girls, where she borrowed somebody's genius and then made it into her own. Like, how is that possible that you take something that pre-existed and then make it better? In my opinion, she's turned it over to a new audience, people who otherwise might not have given it the time of day. And I even remember I was watching that show, The Queen's Gambit, and at one point classical music came on, and I was convinced for a split second that they had sampled Tori Amos on The Queen's Gambit.
That would have been awesome. Are you listening to the Drive All Night podcast, the New Age podcast? I mean, like, just dropped it. Are you listening to that?
I do. These gentlemen have so much time on their hands.
Well, I mean, when it's your passion, it's really, I just think it's so interesting because as I was reading what Tori had to say, just looking up the lyrics today, I was struck by the same thought that you just voiced, that this is like Strange Little Girls part two, but a very different way. And I thought, you know, I was like, oh, that's really cool. But so I thought it was interesting. And I know I was inspired to think that because I have been listening to the New Age podcast and really thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, I've been listening since yesterday, and on my drives every day, I get to listen to about 15 minutes of it. And then
I associate it with the summer and the beach because that's when I really have time to kind of just like kick back and have a few hours to just exist in my mind with people who get it, who absolutely worship at that altar, if you will.
Yes, I will worship at that altar. So what's your favorite live performance of this?
There's the Parisian one. I think it's available on YouTube. I think it's Grand Rex, Paris, mm-hmm. 5th of October. 2011.
And why is that one your favorite?
Oh, she has this very guttural growl that she does throughout it. You know, that Tori growl, how she masterfully fixes her gaze on the audience. And, you know, there could be 10 people, there could be 1,000, and she connects with each one of them. You know, you really feel like you're right.
Yeah, for sure. And what is your favorite lyrical moment in this song?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'll admit that the first time that I listened, but I didn't really hear it. I'm sure a lot of Tori files feel this way, where you've heard something maybe 100 times and, you know, it just exists. But then suddenly, maybe it's the moment, maybe it's the day, maybe it's you're ready. Maybe you're finally ready to, as Tori would say, find your in. 2 minutes in, the music kind of changes a little bit. It goes from one place sonically to another. And she references her embers and her blues, which is to me very much like the light and the dark. It's very much feeling happy, feeling sad, which, as we all know, there's a very thin line between being happy and being sad. I mean, Tori wouldn't have a job if such a thing didn't exist. The process of, I think, for us to heal, I think sometimes we feel like we need permission. And Tori very much hands over that permission to her people. She really kind of lets people know where the entrance and the exits are. She's very good at that. And I know that for me, like when I initially have new Tori material to kind of work through, I just give it the once over first, just to kind of like dive through. And then, you know, along the way that there's been certain threads that have been pulled in each song. Maybe this one spoke a little bit more to you. Maybe this one over here, you want to give it another listen to later. Then, of course, there's the one that's just off the deep end where you're like, okay, that one exists on Pluto somewhere. Like, I'll come back to that one when I have a lot of time. But in the end of the song, she makes a reference to the Beatles and she makes a reference to Bach. And she's always playing with these extremes. She's always playing with these extremes. And for me, when she says, is there such a great divide between your world and mine? Obviously, this is somebody who has lost a lot. You know, they are asking those very upsetting questions that we ask ourselves at 3 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep. They called it a dark night of the soul. I had also been struggling with this very question because, again, trying not to get emotional, but I had been through some trauma, not the loss of a parent, not the loss of a brother, a sister, a lover, but the greatest relationship that one could ever have with one's pet. I had a cat who finally, after 17 years, it was time. And I just thought back to all those Tori Amos albums that I forced him to listen to hundreds and hundreds of times, whether he wanted to or not, you know. And I just think about everything. And I think every Tori fan feels this way, like how many things she's shepherded us through, how many relationships and breakups and getting fired from jobs and birthdays and great vacations and really bad food and, you know, really great fights with your mother on the phone. Like, how many things have they been witness to that, you know, if they could tell a story, the stories we would tell them to shut up about if they could rat us out. And I remember just being so moved by this story, again, trying not to be emotional, but just this beautiful song about, I can't go with you, you can't stay here, but will you leave me your ghost? Like, that is a haunting that I will definitely welcome. And I remember finally, like, as I'm driving, even having to pull over and be like, Tori, you've done it again. You've done it. And I'm sure you said that yourself, where you're like, how did she know? How did she know in this moment that I'm finally ready to, like, I guess heal is the word. Yeah.
Wow. I love how you phrase that, that, you know, this is a haunting that I'm willing to accept. I think that's a really beautiful, beautiful way to put that. And so I just want to read that phrasing from the lyrics just because I just want to read it. My forest of glass caused enough damage, as has your teal satin crashing, right? That kind of owning both sides. My ambers and my blues could have another use. Your ghost has shown me our primroses could survive the frost if a gentle rivulet of flame is sustained tenderly. He'll play a Beatles tune, me more a Bach fugue. Is this such a great divide between your world and mine? They both can purify and heal what was cut and bruised. Now, I love the Forest of Glass reference because I 100% believe...
Of course, to Under the Pink.
Well, but also Forest of Glass, the song. Like, that is a... That there's no way that that is not a holdover and leftover from Night of Hunters. There's no way. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is, you know, he'll play a Beatles tune and, you know, I might play a Bach fugue. And I'm like, well, okay, if the Beatles are not the Bach of the 1960s, then I don't know what is. Like, it's the same. It's so interesting. And so I love that she says, is there such a great divide between your world and mine? I'm like, well, no, there's not, because you're
very much always says that to her, Jimi Hendrix was kind of like Jesus when she was growing up, had these really ideas for the time that people thought were insane, and in his own right was a rock star, preaching love and acceptance and kindness.
So what's your favorite musical moment then?
Oh, goodness. The repeating of that she will keep him warm. She will keep him warm. Just this beautiful image of new life. My story that always makes me think of this song, of course, is that months after we had to say goodbye, well, the last thing that I said to him before it was over, I whispered in his ear and I said, please come find me. Like, whatever it takes, just find me. And the ending of my story is, in the rose bushes outside my apartment, which to me is a reference to the primrose, months and months later, I found a kitten that looked just like him. And he's here now. He is perfect, absolute perfection. Even as it was happening, like where you, in those moments where you finally have the decency to look more than 6 inches beyond your nose and notice other things, where you see this little creature who sick and possibly wandered away from his mother somewhere, and he's just hanging out in the rose bush, and you know in that moment your life is about to change. And all I could think was Tori in my head going, I will keep him warm, I will keep him, just the repeated lyrics. This song.
So do you think this song is taking place at 3 a.m. as well?
I feel like over my shoulder and wrote it. Like, it is just wild.
Yeah, well, because I mean, for those who are listening that don't know, the whole album is supposed to take, you know, that it starts with the fight, but the whole album takes place in the course of a night, right? So each song potentially has a time period ascribed to it, which she's never talked about it that way. I mean, maybe your ghost is the 3 a.m. time slot.
Yeah.
What color is this?
I get this wonderful feeling of like sunlight, like a very golden sunlight song. You know, like on Saturday morning when you wake up and for a split second, you can't remember if it's Friday or Saturday. And then you have that wonderful peace wash over you that you're allowed to go back to sleep. It's got that feeling and it's got that like morning sunlight glow.
I love it. I have also never had that experience of, is this Friday or Saturday? I'm all like, yes, Saturday, I shall go back to sleep. So what is the, I mean, you've kind of talked about it a little bit, but what is the story that this song tells you?
Well, you know, you see things sometimes not in a brush stroke, but you see it kind of like in a circle. You can't have one without having it all. And I'm reminded of a time, oh God, like when I first started living alone. You know, we all have, well, hopefully you have an opportunity in your 20s where you no longer want roommates or somebody living with you and you just want to have your own space, even though it's expensive, you know, you want to have your own space. And he and I moved into our own apartment, me and the cat, whose name was Isis, and the most perfect roommate who would wait for me to come home and feed him, wait for me to climb into bed, wait for me, always communicating, always happy to be there. And I remember one night, I think the apartment was haunted, which brings about, again, the idea of like ghosts. And he stood up on my bed in the middle of the night while I was in that gray area. And he hissed into the darkness, clearly having some kind of like conversation, I'm thinking, with some sort of entity that was there, hissed at it to let it know, like, I mean business. And then as surely as that happened, he calmed down, turned around, settled down, and lovingly went to sleep. And all I could think was, whatever he just did, he told that entity to get out of here ASAP. Like, it was, I was so impressed. I don't know where it came from. And I never experienced that issue again. But all I kept thinking was like, I take care of you, and you on some cosmic level are taking care of me, like, wildly.
I'd be like, what the fuck was that? Turn on every light in the apartment.
Get the sage, get the prayer beads.
Well, I guess I'm done sleeping tonight. Now, what actor would play this song in the movie, the Night of Hunters movie?
I asked the greatest actress, Marion Cotillard, because she can do no wrong.
Man. If that is not on point, I don't know what is. Yeah, I got nothing to add to that.
Sure.
But that's brilliant. No, that's brilliant. I love it. I love where people go, and I love that sometimes I don't see it the same way.
She is absolutely ageless. She just exists in a different world. She can do things that I mean, every actor, of course, is lovely, but Marion Cotillard, she is not of this world. Very similar to how Tori is not of this world and Bowie is not of this world. They just have an understanding and they have a weight to them, and they've lived, you can tell, several lives before. So they have a lot to pull from.
How does this song, I mean, you kind of covered it already, but anything else you would like to say about how this song fits into the greater story of your life? Yep.
Well, I remember vividly, and I rewind back with me to 1994. I'm being driven to high school with my older brother, who's 2 years older. He says to me, "Would you like to hear a mixtape? This girl who likes me made me a mixtape." And I didn't think much of it. So he pops it into the tape deck, and we're just driving along, and suddenly he gets so upset, and he pops the tape out and throws it full force into the back seat of the car. And he's so upset. And I'm like, what's the matter? And he goes, "I can't believe that she put lyrics like that onto a mixtape for me." And he's talking about, I didn't realize it was Tori Amos that was the initial song. And it was the one where she says she's got enough guilt to start her own religion. And I remember him ranting the entire way to school about how that's not what religion's about. Religion is about X, Y, and Z. And I remember thinking, wow, whoever is on that tape really got under your skin. And I have got to hear whatever is on. I wasn't even paying attention. That's how much I was in my own world. So you can imagine how fast I ran to the car after school was over to find the tape in the back seat, to bring it home, to pop it in my own stereo. And it was like a door opened. I felt my molecular structure changing as I listened, because nobody had ever said it like that before. And this is my intro to Tori.
That's a great story. Well, it's so interesting, like, I mean, how people find their doorway in. One of my dear, dear friends, we were teaching together and she was playing around with my iPod. Yes, my iPod at the time. So she's playing around with my iPod and she pulls up Dragon. And so she starts playing Dragon. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm messing around with it." And I was like, no, have at it. Like, I don't care. And so she plays Dragon. She's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I love this." And so she listened, you know, I just let the song play through. And then at the time she was a flight attendant and she was flying back and forth. Her route was Boston to London. So I was like, "Hey, I don't know if you're going to be in London this weekend or this, whatever it is, but Tori's playing there. Thought you might be interested." And so she's like, "Oh, sweet." So she just randomly buys tickets. She gets ninth row to see Tori in London. And as it happens, I guess they're on a break or whatever, but it's Wicked. And so the stage is set up, you know, has been set up for Wicked, even though it's, you know, like all of that's not out there. But the Dragon is above the stage. So there's this big old Dragon above the stage. And then, of course, Tori plays Dragon. And my phone's like, "Oh my God, it was so amazing." I was like, "I can't believe, like, the one song that you've heard that you loved and you just decided to buy tickets at the last minute. You got these great seats." She sends me the picture. She's like, "Look where I am." She didn't tell me she was going. She just said, "Look where I am." I was like, "Oh my God." And there's a Dragon over the stage. She played Dragon. And I think it's so interesting that, you know, you have, I mean, it happened to me. I've seen it happen before. It's like, "Oh, I love this song. I love this song. I love this song. I really hope she plays this tonight." And, you know, Right. Where I'm meeting people at their very first concert. "I really hope she plays this tonight. I'd really love to hear this." And then she just pulls it out and you're like, what? I mean, what are the odds of that happening? Yeah. Where, you know, the song that you love so much is the song that she whips out when you see her. Now, have that being said, did you get to see your ghost when you did you do the 2011 never. Tour? Never.
I've seen her about 15 times, but she's never played that one.
I mean, she only did it in 2011. And when she did it, she played it 23 times. I only saw two shows and I didn't see it on that tour either because she just didn't play it where I was at. She was like on either side. I saw her the two shows in LA. She played it the show before in Oakland and the show after in Dallas. But yeah, I'm bummed you didn't get to see this. What show did you get to go to on the 2011 tour?
I just went to the one at the Beacon.
Where in the world would you most like to listen to this song?
Oh, overlooking the sea on a cliff, possibly Normandy. I can see it. where our boys storm the beaches. Like, it just has that epic holding a torch, looking at the ocean during a storm kind of feeling.
Now, are you a Francophile?
I dabble.
I mean, you whip out, I'm going to butcher it now, Marion Cotillard's name in this lovely French accent, and your favorite version is in Paris, and now we're, you know, overlooking the beaches of Normandy listening to this. I'm sensing a theme.
Well, I have been there twice. Didn't remember the first time because we were just rushing to get to Rome on the Eurorail when I was like 21 with my then roommate. But then only last year, my partner took me back because he had to go for work. And while he was working, I got to explore all the different arrondissements by myself. I literally became a different person while I was there. I don't know if you ever have the opportunity, but give yourself the opportunity to go somewhere you've really never been and just shrug a conversation, meet people, smile, just be that better version of yourself. I smoked cigarettes for a week and I don't even smoke. I tried desserts that I can only relive now in my memory, and for once was not fearful. Like, I feel like I'm neurotic and very much a neurotic American, but for the week that I was there by myself, and even though the weather was a little bit rainy and gross, I managed to find ways to have a good time. And I feel like with Tori, she's always kind of giving you the power to find in yourself what you know is there, but you have to uncover. Almost like she showed you the tennis ball of life and then she threw it and said, go get it for yourself.
That's lovely. So next tour, you're going to see her in Paris, right?
I mean, I just got upped by Bank of America. I don't know these people at Bank of America. They'll write me emails and they're like, hey, you're doing so well. We've upped your credit limit. Doesn't that mean you want to hop on a plane and go see Tori in France?
Yes. Well, I agree. I agree. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to go there. Now, last question. Who would you like to see cover this song?
If I'm going to pick somebody who's got the gumption and the magic, she's got the royalty, I'm going to say Annie Lennox could possibly kill this song amongst many, many Tori songs. Like, if there was ever somebody she should duet with who gets it, I feel like Annie Lennox lives in that universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can actually hear it.
Yep.
Yes. Any last thoughts on your ghost?
I find this album to be so poignant for her because it's not like any other, even, oh, I know we've lightly touched on Strange Little Girls. It's not like anything else that she's ever done. She's taken the music in a direction that I don't think anyone would ever consider, that these pre-existing works of genius, and then handed them over to the world in a way that is palpable and literate. And although she has her own story going, running thread throughout this album, it's just so simple for somebody who appreciates that kind of thing to find their own story in the story. And I think that's really what Tori does, is that she has written the story, but she's left a lot of spaces in the Tori Bible for you to write your own verses. And I just, when I hear this music, when I hear these lyrics, when I hear these songs, I can't help but apply my own story to it. And I really hope everybody else does that too.
Yeah. Well, I want to say too that Ephraim and David and the New Age podcast is going, you know, for those of you that have never listened to the Songs of Tori Amos podcast, you know, maybe beyond this one, that, you know, the original idea, the Drive All Night podcast, was like, let's look, investigate each song on each album as we go. So they've just started Strange Little Girls, which we've talked about a couple of times, and they've started with New Age, and New Age, the character of New Age, Olive, if you're Ephraim, Maud, if you're David, is what their name, what they've named her. She's a librarian. And what I thought it was really kind of poignant that they both kind of felt like that prior to that album, that you know, Tori was, there was a lot more of her in the songs. And then from that album on, and maybe it's, you know, becoming a mother, that she shifts more into the observer role, the cataloging, like the librarian cataloging and observing things. I think it's easier for us to maybe insert ourselves or see ourselves in the song or pick up on the narrative when the person writing the piece is coming from this observation place instead of this deeply personal place. You know, at the same time, even though it was from this personal place in the prior albums, she wasn't like, you know, this happened and this happened. It wasn't, we weren't getting details. We were getting feeling states, and feelings are universal detail. The details of our lives are unique to us, but the feelings are universal. And so it's feelings on which we relate to. And so I think she captures that really well in the first albums. And then as we hit New Age and on, there's really kind of this observer. What happens when I see this? What happens when a couple gets into a fight and then they break up? What happens? What happens? And then she kind of follows that train of thought. And, you know, you get something like Night of Hunters, which fits really well into the song cycle.
I just recently, about a year ago, downloaded all of the original versions of Tori's Strange Little Girls album, the ones that were actually sang by the men that she covered. And I played them back to back for a couple of days just to hear, like, he said, she said kind of a thing. And it's just absolutely mind-blowing, where you hear what he made and then you see what she created.
Yes. Oh, we all have more homework to do now, don't we? So I want to tell everybody that you can find the full unedited version of this conversation on our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/songsoftoriamos. And it's on there as free content. So make sure you head over to the Patreon page and listen to the full thing. Where can we find you on the socials, Brendan?
I go on Instagram as Beej Torius, which is, of course, a reference to our girl. So BEEJTORIOUS.
Nice. Anything you've got coming up that you want to share with the world?
I finished my fifth season of my podcast, and that's called The Worst Thing You've Ever Done, where I explore the untold stories of my friends and strangers. I have people who write in their favorite stories, and I share them with a guest every couple of weeks. And we just scrapped our fourth season. We might be going into our fifth season this summer, so we shall see.
Oh, that's awesome. The worst thing you've ever done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, now we have extra homework. I totally want to go check it out. Thank you for sharing that. Make sure you follow us on the social, Songs of Tori Amos, on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me, Rose Cress, on Instagram and Facebook as well. You can head over to our Patreon page and become a member. There are some really wonderful, brand new illustrations for the Strange Little Girls album. And I hear that Patreon members are going to get stickers of those. I was like, oh my God, I really want stickers. So stickers? I need the stickers of Tori Amos that somebody else made. So make sure you head over to the Patreon page, become a member, join us for all this great content that we're serving you up. And I hope you have a wonderful Friday, a marvelous weekend, a great day with Ephron on Monday for New Music Mondays. And I will see you next Tuesday. Everybody give a great big hands up to Brendan. Thank you so much. And let's say bye to everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Never Shut Up is a production of the Sideways Society. For more information and links to things mentioned on the show, please visit us online at songsoftoriamus.com.
Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up.